Hey everybody, I'd like to welcome you to Boss Chat, where we delve into the psychological undertones of America's favorite sitcom, Who's the Boss? Tonight we're going to be going over the complex interdependent relationship between Angela and Mona, and what happened to it with the introduction of Samantha into the house. Giant shock, what do you think about that?
I'm completely confused.
Right. Let's talk about video games, fuck it. This is a video game podcast.
Nice.
We're the A-Squad. Tonight we're going to be going over Batman Arkham's new premise, what happened to the Bioshock movie, an apparent unwritten honor among video game voice actors that has restored my faith in humanity, and we look into what attracts us most about video games, as well as quiz show, fantasy glitch, coming out of the closet, and all the other shit we do. We don't have a guest tonight, so we won't be introducing anyone, but we are going to go into what we're playing now. Which is what we always do first. I'm playing Bioshock on Max's... Oh, I got Max Barracuda and Giant Shock with me, for those of you who don't know.
Hello, hello.
Back again.
Right. Shame on you for not knowing. tonight, I'm playing Bioshock. Not tonight, but that's what I'm playing now. I started playing it on Max's recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It's something else.
Yeah, it's sweet.
He's liked it so much that that's not a game I'm not going to play, but I really want to see the movie because he's basically explained the entire thing out to me. And it just sounds awesome.
Yeah, I just beat it this week.
Don't get your hopes up too.
I'm not going to spoil anything on here, but it's probably one of my favorite games in a long time.
It's good. I'm knee deep in it right now. The only thing that I have to say about it is that the introduction of the plasmids, or the vapors as they call them.
Vigors.
That guy took it way too easy. They're like, oh, whatever, I control crows with this? Okay.
Yeah, I barely used the vigors.
But I'm saying in the first one, when they were plasmids, he totally... I mean, there was kind of a big scene where you're like, oh my god. And the whole thing was about how Andrew Ryan wanted to test on humans and whatnot like that.
Right.
They didn't go into any of that this one. They just assumed the gamer knew about it. Well, I would have liked to
I think the
see
only
that.
Reason they're even in there is to kind of keep a link throughout the series. Because Infinite doesn't have a lot to do with the other games.
I would have liked to see a freak out, or at least a mention of Andrew Ryan pioneering that tech. Or
I'm not going to spoil anything, but there is a mention to the first game towards the end.
Okay, I need that.
Very brief, but it'll probably
it ties it in.
It doesn't necessarily tie it in. It just shows it's in the same world.
I needed that.
I didn't play the first two. Were the first two connected?
First two were.
The first two both took place in Rapture under the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This
is a whole
different
under the
sea?
Right.
Under the sea.
Mm-hmm. Different protagonists completely. But, yeah, this one is pretty independent of that, but there is mention eventually. And I'll tell you, the ending is beautiful.
Explaining it to me, like I just like the games that put in that like that little something extra where like everything you see is for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, there's not something like you pass by that it's not supposed to be there.
Very much so. And this game, if you're playing it to shoot shit, and don't bother. If you're playing it to...
Well, especially not on hard, because I'm not shooting anything.
Well, I found the best parts of the game are the parts where you're not just slaughtering people.
Oh, for me, are you playing it on the hardest difficulty?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like Splinter Cell. Like, you have to take down each person. Obviously, on normal, you're meant to just... rush in their guns a-blazing, but I can't do that.
To be fair, in the interest of finishing it, there were certain parts I got hung up on, especially towards the end, that I knocked it down to, like, normal, just to beat it, to get through it. Because, it's almost too easy on normal mode.
What's your favorite vigor?
I use a combination. If you shoot the crows, mm-hmm. and then you shoot electricity, it electrifies the crows,
okay.
and it does double damage.
Nice. I got the crows, and I do the water.
The water's fun.
The water knocks guys off boards.
And you could whip them around with it.
Mm-hmm. That's a good game, though. Is that what you're playing this week?
That is all I've played and obsessed about and thought about and read about.
How long did it take you to go through the whole thing?
I knocked it out in a couple hours. It's not a long game.
I know you said you got it from one of those red boxes.
Yeah.
How long did you have it out for?
Just a few days.
All right.
So. I mean, the part that takes the most time is exploration.
Yeah,
and kind of observing all the like gorgeous details they put into the game.
Graphically, is there an equal to that game?
Not stunning.
I thought it looks like a.
He was telling me that it was stunning.
It looks like a Disney movie.
Stunning's
the environments.
That's a generous word for that game.
The story, the music, everything in it is gorgeous.
It's nice. I mean, it's all wrapped together in a nice package, but it's not stretching the boundaries of graphics.
I thought it stretched the boundaries of storytelling. I thought, here's my one complaint, is the gameplay is a little rough in that...
It's clunky?
No, not clunky. It's just repetitive as far as...
Well, from the first game, like, that looked very repetitive too.
But it's like they put so much emphasis... All right, they put so much emphasis on the environments and the storytelling, and then it seems like the gameplay is just, you know, kill. Kill, 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 and it kind of seems out of place. For, you know, 1 minute you're walking along this artificial beach and there's music and people dancing, and the next minute you accidentally steal something. Like, you just pick something up and the entire Colombia military's on your ass.
Yeah, I noticed that about the game too. There's no missions. There's no, oh, find this to open this door. There's nothing like that. You just walk around.
There's side quests and things in there.
I don't remember anything that massive.
Yeah, find the codec so you could decipher the Vox Populi.
But that's all side shit. You don't have to do anything.
No, it's optional.
There was no find like the bishop and knight key to open up the safe to get.
No, you can open like every single door.
It's right. Find the girl. That's your whole goal. So find this girl, and then you get the girl.
Are those little girls in it?
No, little sisters in this one.
Which they have her hidden, by the way, in a gigantic castle.
Well, she's the daughter of the founder of the city.
Yeah, it's a good game.
And, you know, sometimes the fighting and the violence gets a little bit weird, but not enough to take me out of it. I just loved every moment of it. The fighting can be fun when you're using the sky hooks and the rail system, and you're just, like, whipping around and doing crazy jumps and taking people out from there.
I'm having a good time with it. It's taken me more than a couple hours. It only took you a couple hours to beat the whole game.
Yeah, it wasn't that much. I'd spent more time exploring than anything.
You got it from the red box, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we all know if Max Barracuda spends only $7 on video games.
Well, I'm not going to.
He turns into a pumpkin before.
I'm going to buy a game that I'm going to beat in a weekend.
Johnny Chuck, what are you playing?
Two things, and they're really just in preparation on the eve of tomorrow. One is that demo for Injustice.
It's the eve of tonight, my friend.
Yes.
Tonight's the eve.
Yes.
Because tomorrow, for people who don't know when we're recording this, Injustice comes out tomorrow.
Yes. For tomorrow, it's the eve tonight. And playing that, I'm getting, you know, tired of playing the three characters in the one board, but the commercial showed Aquaman's board. He fucking has, like, sharks in it, and, like, it just the whole game looks sick. I like how they made Joker look, and Superman, like, they show his finisher, and he, like, pops you up into space and then blasts you back down to Earth and shit, man. It just looks like it's going to be such a fun, fun game.
Any of these finishers look like they would put the hot murder on Batman. I'll say that.
Yeah, but Batman is like, obviously he's mortal and everything, but he would never get into that situation.
I keep hearing too, though, that there's something in the story that explains how they can all go toe to toe. There's something there.
I heard the story is pretty beefy. I'm really excited. I heard it's beefy for a fighting.
Did you see
game.
The other?
Well, did you play Mortal Kombat 9? Same
no.
studio. The story mode in that game was unbelievable. It was so good. Takes
was
you
it? I got so
every
tired of
character.
Their stories.
No, this one, it's a reboot, essentially.
Oh, good.
Takes you back.
We needed that.
You start at the beginning. It starts at the end of the last game, and everybody's dead. Mm-hmm. And then Raiden goes back to the first tournament to fix whatever went wrong.
Oh, so see, I like that.
It takes you through every game. Well, Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3.
How do you go back? Did you fly at 88 miles per hour?
flying reverse around the Earth.
Okay.
Did you bother to save, like, all the Molina Katana? Like and
well,
those are the first two ones you
actually,
saved.
In the game,
the subs like all the same.
In the game, it takes different paths. So you see Molina come into.
I'm joking to make it like all the Cyraxes and like the same model.
You fight them.
All of them.
You fight them when they're human first, they become the androids. At one point, Sub-Zero gets killed and brought back as Cyber Sub-Zero. Like, they change it around a little bit.
That did happen, didn't that happen?
Not in the original series.
Okay.
I remember seeing Cyber Sub-Zero.
I don't think my joke caught.
No, because it actually brought up an interesting point.
What I was trying to say is, that like, all right, we got, like, three of these Cyrax-type guys walking around. I'm only going to say one of them. There's too many of them in there. Like, you know, they have Dan and Street Fighter.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, they brought them all. They brought them all. But you don't have to play them.
Cool. And then the second thing I'm playing is I just got a little bone up on a little bit of zombies because this week the new Call of Duty DLC comes out with the mob zombies.
Nice.
And it looks really, really fun with, you know, they're in Alcatraz and they're all
new
like
board.
Mobsters. Yeah. So that's going to be fun too. So realistically,
Is it just the one new board?
For the zombies, yes. Zombies. Not for, like, there's four new multiplayer boards. I like multiplayer, but I really, really bought the game for the zombies.
Right.
The multiplayer boards though look kind of cool. You're the one I thought was really really fun. Looked there was you're in an arena and there's a stage on it, like, you know, you see a concert, and that's like, there's the stands, and then the stands can shoot.
I think Ghost Recon did that, and Gears of War did that with the Thrash Ball.
The Thrash Ball, it was more like there was no stage. There was like a, there literally was like a field with a bunch of shit on it.
Right. Yeah, it was a stadium. It was almost like a maze, right?
Yeah, but you know how Gears of War does it, a bunch of like points of protection.
Yeah.
This is just like there's a stage, and you could shoot around. There's like you could go all the way to the top and snipe. It just looked like a lot of fun. There's also a circus with like rides and stuff.
So. Well, they did that in Modern War. Well, it was a carnival, but whatever.
Yeah. So the, I mean, I'm playing in preparation for tomorrow. Tomorrow's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what we're playing for this week. I guess if you guys don't have anything else, we'll go into the news. I love the news.
I got a brand new drug.
The BioShock movie. Everyone excited about it? Everyone remember hearing about it?
Yeah, man. I was actually talking about it before.
It's dope, right?
Yeah.
It's dead.
Good.
What?
Good. They'll never translate it.
Oh, they were going to translate it. Originally, back in 2008, BioShock's creator Ken Levine.
Genius.
Or Levine. Whoever. Levine. Okay. He came out and announced that the BioShock movie was being made. It was going to be directed by Gore Verbinski.
that movie could use a lot more gore and a lot less Verbinski.
he was the director of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think would have been a good move for them. And it was going to be given a $200 million budget.
All right. But sure, it probably would have looked great.
Would have been great.
Probably would have been enjoyable.
And it was going to be a hard R movie.
Oh, was it?
It was going to be a super hard R.
Almost that NC-17?
Yeah, sold they me. Said just, that. Super gory.
I just don't know if...
Super gory for Vince.
I just don't know if it's going to... If it would translate, because half of BioShock, the storyline... We're talking number one.
Mm-hmm.
So we could actually talk about the ending. It's been long enough. Half the fun of that game was being in control.
Right.
Deciding what to do with the little sisters, the point in the middle with Andrew Ryan where you find out you've been mind controlled the whole time,
right?
That wouldn't translate as well in a movie. I mean, that was a whole jaw dropping moment of
if I was like, watching been, the whole. I mean, there'd be a whole lot of whispers going, you know, would you kindly?
Yeah, would you
all
kindly?
Over the place, all over the movie theater. I mean, that secret would be out
instantly. Like,
right?
I don't know if it would translate as well. I would see it in a heartbeat just to see Big Daddy's on screen and to see Rapture, how they would do Rapture.
I was really hoping for it to be the turning of the tides, like what Spider-Man pretty much did for the comic book movies, because the Spider-Man movies, even though now we look back on them, they weren't nearly the Batman movies, but they kind of opened the door for studios to throw money at comic
book. Well, you could go back further with the comic book ones. It was actually like the Blade movies. But that's a digression.
I don't think the Blade movies did it.
No,
that was the first comic
Blade
movie really
opened the door for X-Men, which opened the door for Spider-Man. Chronologically,
I think Spider-Man's the first one that blew it off the hinges.
I'm waiting.
That did the best money wise.
The fact, though, that we never had a video game movie that was even Blade worthy of opening the door. Really, I guess.
But that's what I was looking forward
Prince
to with BioShock.
Persia might do it.
But what happened with BioShock is the studio that was going to have it ran into a roadblock called Watchmen. Which was a super bomb.
They lost a lot of money on that.
It did that bad?
It did so bad that they told the BioShock creators that they were going to have to go with a new director, Juan Carlos Fresnadillo. I don't give a fuck about this guy. And apparently neither did Ken Levine.
So this wasn't recently, was it?
He did
it?
It 28 Days Later, which is not the style.
The zombie movie?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Not the style I would have liked to see a BioShock in. And they cut his budget down to $80 million.
Now, you would need grandiose to do BioShock.
This seems like it's more older news than recently, because it said Watchmen did so bad. That Watchmen came out in five years ago?
No, because you know how it kicks around the studios for so long.
Yeah,
that Ken Levine just came out recently, just within
got the final figures. He's like, "Whoa, mama!"
Well, he was given the right to cut it down, and after just a lot of heartbreak, he came out and said, "Look, it's dead. I'm not doing it for $80 million. I'm not doing it with this bullshit director.
Good.
I'm not doing it." Which is great, because at least he didn't want to just a cash cow on a franchise that obviously the old BioShocks aren't coming back.
BioShock 2 was enough of a blow to the series that we don't need a shitty movie tacked on there.
No, all you really got to do is get the people, whoever the hell made that Mario Brothers movie, And it was kind of almost like
that. That actually resembled Bioshock more than Mario.
Do you really think they're available?
I'm sure they have plenty of time in their schedule.
Do you think John Leguizamo's not doing it?
Now that you mention it, that weird city they end up in kind of is rapture-esque.
Like, because I was just thinking about that, and like that was more Bioshock than it ever was Mario.
Yeah. I believe there were plasmids in there.
I was trying to think of something clever to say, but that movie sucked dick.
Yeah, we don't need a bad Bioshock movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would translate, even with Gore Verbinski, who I like, I don't think that it would be...
There's a lot of things I'm proud of going into the video game world this week.
Namely?
What else?
Well, like I said, well, let me...
Did you get like a super achievement or something like that?
No, well, let me start this off by telling a little story. The guy David Hayter.
Like H-A-D-E-R?
H-A-Y.
Oh, Hayter?
Hater.
Just trying to be clever, like Hater.
Well, you might not know him by that name, but you might know him by Solid Snake. He's done the voice of Snake for over 15 years, and for whatever reason, it's not really sure at this time, but he's not tacked on to the new one. Whether Nintendo told him no, or... well, I guess
it's not Nintendo behind the
point.
New
one? No. Well... They could be. That
last one was PlayStation.
You're right.
Exclusive.
They've all been basically PlayStation.
No, a bunch came out for... Snake Eater
came out GameCube first.
And Xbox. And then...
I don't know why I said Nintendo. I just think of them as this evil conglomerate.
Well, the first one I know was NES.
Yeah, but...
And then it was PlayStation. I know, like you said, GameCube came out with, I think, the remake
of... They remade Metal Gear Solid as Metal Gear Solid Twin Snakes.
Yeah.
Which was essentially the same game with like 14 more hours of cutscenes in it.
14 more hours of cutscenes?
I'm exaggerating, but that's how
you're
felt.
Getting a good bonus.
I played that game, and you spend more time with your controller down than you actually spend playing it. Like, it's just epically long scenes.
Well, same thing with the PlayStation.
David Hayter earned his money.
A lot of talking, a lot of dialogue.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, he's not in it. And Nolan North. It was
Nathan Drake.
Yeah, it was rumored that he was going to pick up the mantra. He's not only Nathan Drake, but he's also Desmond from...
he's Desmond in Assassin's Creed. He's Deadpool in all the Marvel games. He's Penguin in the Arkham games. This guy's all over the place.
Alex from Prototype. He's the doctor from your Call of Duty Zombies, Dr. Richensoff or whatever the guy is always
yelling.
I
hate this man. Oh my god, it's the most annoying thing in the world.
No, plus a ton of animated shows.
Yeah, if those voice actors, they get around. I mean, like, was it John DiMaggio? He's everywhere, that guy. And who's that guy from Pinky and the Brain?
Rob Paulsen.
Yeah, he's a ton of stuff.
The guy's a Ninja Turtle again.
He's around. Yeah. So it's funny that you mentioned that. Nolan North is a Ninja Turtle as well.
Oh, is he?
He's Raph.
In the new one, no. In the new series?
No,
he was Raphael in the last series. They got a new series out where it's Sean Astin and as Raph, you know, the guy from Lord of the Rings,
mm-hmm.
And I think Jason Biggs is Leonardo.
I wish they'd stop bringing
it back.
Pussy
ass turtles, yo.
Yeah, I'm actually not a fan of the new one.
I mean,
Samwise Gamgee and the guy from the movie Loser,
the guy who fucked the pie. Yeah,
yeah.
Anyway, Nolan North was asked whether he was going to do it, and he said flat out he wouldn't do it, even if they offered it to him, because you don't steal another guy's gig like that.
Good on him.
Yeah, that's respectful.
I've heard interviews with him. He seems like a stand-up guy.
He seems like a great guy.
Yeah, man.
Just from this, though.
But consider, too, the guy's not hurting for work, either.
No, I guess he's not.
So he's coming at it from a pretty decent spot.
You don't mow another man's lawn.
Yeah, I guess if they threw Danny Tamborelli from Pete and Pete the same offer, he might jump out.
Wow, Danny Tamborelli. Okay.
Was that Artie or something?
No, it was Little Pete.
Little Pete.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking about who played Artie. It's like,
I know that
man?
Guy. He does. You know what? He's a voice actor as well, so that's why.
Yeah.
Artie. So that's I was thinking of him, and I was like, fuck it, I don't remember his name. Who do I remember?
It's like Toby something.
Toby. Yeah, Toby Maguire.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't know.
They gave no inkling on why they're letting Hayter go?
No, nothing.
That's a weird move.
Yeah.
Are they rebooting it?
Nothing. No word on it yet.
Maybe that he's just asking for a bunch of dough and they don't want to go into it.
That's what people are wondering. People are wondering if he's just tired of it.
Or is it that Nolan North is really hot right now?
He's so hot right now.
He's so hot right now.
It wasn't confirmed that they offered it to him. They just asked him since he was obviously the next successor.
He would actually make a gritty. He's got that gritty kind of like masculine grumble. That
and he could do the younger one. He does Superboy on Young Justice. He could just throw
he's Superboy.
Maybe the process.
Shit, he is. No, I just put it together.
Yeah, and Superman from Young Justice, and he's also Cyclops from Wolverine and the X-Men. And he's
I'm actually on season two of Young Justice. So.
Maybe his plate's just too full right now, and he just doesn't feel like going back to that particular series again.
No, he came out flat out and said, "Oh, David Hayter?
Yeah,
that's his only series, really."
Yeah,
he doesn't really do any other voice. He's got all his eggs in one basket.
Hey, some people that might
rough gig then because they release one of those every 5 years.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I never understood that saying. Why wouldn't you put all your eggs in one basket? Where you have individual.
I keep what if you drop the basket?
Yeah, I keep six. Yeah, but whatever. What are you gonna have 10 at all times?
Right. Fuck that saying. But kudos to Nolan North.
Yeah, good on him.
The new Batman game's coming out.
Arkham Origins.
Is that going to be out this fall?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's October.
It's going to be this console cycle. It's going to be a mega fall with the consoles, that Batman game. It's going to be a fun fall.
Hell yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The new one, we've been talking about it for a while in the show because we love it. People who don't know, we are under the heading of Painted Black, which is a comic book. Well, I'll let Pete explain that.
You just said it. Painted Black Comics.
Right. Paintedblackcomics.com.
At PIB Comics on Twitter.
Right. All of us have worked at Painted Black at one point. I don't anymore because I have two kids and I consult, but Brian is a writer here.
You're still part. You host this show.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. And I do love the show. But Pete is the main artist. And that's why we lean heavily on the comic book games because it's just the perfect marriage. We love them both.
Yeah.
They're all a lot of fun, too.
Right.
Born from love here.
Especially the Arkham games. Who doesn't love the Arkham games?
I think was the Arkham Asylum one Game of the Year, didn't it?
Yeah.
Arkham City.
Arkham City.
Arkham City.
I think Asylum was more won more accolades.
It was more acclaimed. I don't know. People. I noticed this with BioShock. After I finished the game, I looked at reviews. And like early reviews are all like glowing. Like, this is the best. This is awesome. And then, of course, people got to start hating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it only had like 7 guns. You know, people find problems. I found the same thing with Arkham, where it first came out, Arkham City. Everybody was glowing about how great it was, and then along came the haters on the internet going...
The David haters.
Well, they said bitch a lot.
It's like, my voice wasn't in it either.
Sexist. Batman's punching people too hard. He thought he wasn't killing people. It's like, shut up. It's a fucking game.
Whatever. Well, the new one looks dope.
New one looks like a nice departure.
Arkham Origins. It takes place the eve of Christmas, which who don't know it is Christmas Eve.
Is it going to be like all Christmassy and shit like that? Like,
they said that it's going to be a snowstorm. Like cars packed in, a lot of snow. Yeah, you know.
The few screenshots I've seen have like lights on the trees.
Is kind of a I don't want to say getting into a fantasy glitch, but somewhere at some bridge, Batman should go save fucking what's his face from It's a Wonderful Life.
Like, that would be fantastic. With George Bailey.
Yeah, yeah, just talk him off the ledge. Like, it's not worth it. Go home.
I would like to have that.
Batarang him in the forehead.
Every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
I would love that. And then he saves Gwen Stacy from falling up the same bridge. He's like, that's how you do it, pussy.
Or if the Joker just runs up and kicks him in.
Yeah.
If they don't have the Jingle Bells Batman Smell song in there somewhere.
Yeah, that.
I need that.
From the original, like, was it the original cartoon? Remember they had their Christmas special?
They actually had Joker singing that, yeah.
Anyway, Arkham Origins is, from what little that we know about this story, Black Mask, who is an unknown, not an unknown, but.
I think he's getting out there.
He's getting out there.
Anybody who saw Mask of the Red Hood, the animated movie, knows who he is now.
Which is nobody.
I seen it.
Brian, you know.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're not a comic book reader, per se, but you know the character now.
Yeah.
All right, but he's a recent Batman villain. He's not part of the Batman.
He's never made it to the movies.
What is that, within the last 5 years, Black Mask?
No.
10?
15, 20.
No.
Yes, I guarantee you.
No. He never made it to the animated series.
No, he was posted, but that was early.
Years ago. Right?
No, that was...
Am I too old?
It's 2013, buddy.
The animated series like stopped in 95 or something.
Yeah,
like
that show was like 91.
It's almost 20 years old at this point.
Motherfucker.
It was after the 89 Batman, so it had to be 90, 91, around there.
Yeah, 20 years ago, the X-Men series and the Batman series were like on TV.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, whatever. Black Mask puts a hit out on a fresh Batman because this takes place well before the games. Yeah, where Batman was a
younger
newbie.
Batman.
And the only people I've seen in screenshots so far is Penguin and Slade.
Deathstroke, yeah. Well, he's got to be in there.
Oh, Slade.
Well, he's Slade on Teen Titans. He's Deathstroke everywhere else, so I call
he's
him Deathstroke.
He's also Slade. That's his name.
Slade Wilson, yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, it's supposedly, what's his face? Black Mask sends out a bunch of assassins after Batman puts a hit out on him. So you're going to see some, I think you're going to see some cool assassin-type characters. I'm guessing Deadshot's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be shocked if he didn't have a little Ra's al Ghul and the League of Shadows in there. I'd be surprised.
I think he would eat up a game, though.
Ra's al Ghul?
I don't think he works for people. I don't see him
No, but
I
see the League of Shadows playing a group of assassins. They're going to... They're your assassins.
Maybe Talia goes after him. That'd be nice.
Maybe.
I would. You know what Probably I would really like? I need to see him kick the shit out of Hush once and for all.
Hush would be interesting, but early Batman? Hush is a recent villain.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he'd make the cut. I would love to see him. He was only briefly in the last one.
Mm-hmm. And he got away.
And he gets away.
Like, you're gonna see, do you think you guys are going to see any, like, Banes or Crocs or Two-Faces or, you know, the main guys that, you know, that are...
I'm going to be surprised. Penguin's in there. I mean...
Oh, he's definitely in there?
But he's not a super-powered villain. We haven't seen a super-powered villain yet.
That's true. I'd be shocked if they didn't go Joker, frankly, but I don't know.
They're
going
to introduce the Joker, I bet.
I don't know.
These are all introductions, by the way. These people... These are all going to be meetings for the first time, which... The game's going to be fun. I'm going to love it, but... You know, the introduction games, I can take them when I leave them sometimes. You know, oh my God, this guy's so wacky, what do? He wears a purple suit. And you're like, all right.
Yeah.
I know what you do.
This falls, I mean, I'm excited about this one. I think it's a cool idea. I don't think it necessarily has to be a prequel. It's just, that's the way it's going. Everything's a fucking prequel.
But does it have anything to do with the actual other stories? It's not, like...
No, it's...
It's not canon at all. The Arkham games are their own...
Well, the character like Batman, I don't really give a crap too much. It's kind of like just starting a new comic with him, you know? It's
like the New 52 did, or...
Yeah, so just start a new story arc with him. You can keep all the same characters. Yeah.
I am relieved that it's not like a year one game where he's... You know, learning to be Batman.
I don't need that.
I want to jump right back into.
Well, that
the
would be an awesome. Why that was an awesome movie. It would be kind of lame gameplay if you're
trying to
learn how to be Batman.
Well, the cool deal is that it's going to take place in a much larger universe. It's going to be the entire city of Gotham.
It's the full city, yeah, which is really cool.
I'm going to need that Batplane, Batman. Yeah. I can't glide all over Gotham City like I did
you could get through Arkham City pretty quick from one end to once you're. Once you're beefed up enough.
They're talking about it being six times as big. I'm not floating around like that.
That sounds awesome.
I need the
Batwing. That actually just made me
smile. I need the Batwing.
Six times larger.
You know what I ever got? Like, he had that Batwing, right? But, like, why wasn't he just totally undefeatable? Like, why did he ever have a problem with anybody? He had a fucking jet.
Well.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, always
all his enemies are holed up in abandoned factories. And
yeah.
he has a jet, bro. Just fly it in there, blow them away. Like,
let me ask you guys this. And it's something that occurred to me. It's supposedly a blizzard on New Year's Eve, correct? Does anyone else see this as a cop-out to once again not put the pedestrians into the Batman game?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's actually got a lot more stuff going on. If you haven't blizzard, the environment's going to be kind of fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's going to be a freak snowstorm, but I wanted to see some pedestrians. I like that. And Spider-Man, I like that when I'm swinging by and everyone's like, holy shit.
Spider-Man, like, he does his shit, like, during the day.
In the daytime.
Mm-hmm. Well, Batman's, it's like 4 a.m.
But you know what? I like those side missions, too, where you stop people from getting beat up in the alleyways and stuff like that.
I would love that.
I don't expect Batman to be saving balloons for kids like in the Spider-Man.
Yeah, but Batman's... Yeah.
Oh, that was the worst.
Yeah. Batman's, like, he's fighting the Joker or, like, Clayface or Two-Face. They're all over the city killing people. Like, he ain't got time for, like, petty thugs robbing people's purse. Yo,
pass him by if he's floating around.
No, but the thing is, if you're out in the streets of Gotham, you deserve to get mugged during that scenario. Like, it is at your own risk.
Do you think Batman feels that way? Like,
but I'm saying, like, as far as...
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, that's probably why there's no people walking around. So who the fuck would be walking around in this circus of mayhem? Like... They'd be in their side with a shotgun pointed to their door
every night.
Yeah,
searching for clowns or clown-related paraphernalia.
I'd makeshift a Batman flashlight, just put out my window, and be like, "Help me!"
Just hang
I
out
just
here.
Board
man.
Up my windows every night, like it was that Will Smith movie.
Like I Am Legend?
I Am Legend. Yeah, man. There's a reason why people aren't walking around that city, dude. It's dangerous.
You know what? I also need to see different areas. I need to see a rich area where maybe people are allowed to walk around. I can't see an entire slum of a city. I just don't want to see it.
I mean, I get if it was like a... Okay, like nothing... There's like the Arkham games, when it made sense why people wouldn't walk around. But if it's just like Batman's going, you know, his daily runs... And there aren't like people walking around.
I don't think there will be.
Well, it's a goddamn blizzard. Again, people wouldn't be walking around.
I'd like to see one or two motherfuckers trying to push it through the snow because their wife got snippy with them.
Maybe they will. Who knows? But like, it is an interesting way to kind of get around. You can only have so many characters on screen at one time in a video game.
That's true.
So,
but how many thugs? I mean, in the Arkham City game, I enjoyed floating down every once in a while and just stretching my bat wings on some thugs, some losers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, yo, I mean, if it's a blizzard, like, was Batman going to be consistently trying to get people's cars out the snow? Like, God damn it, I, why are you driving in the snow? Like, here's bat salt.
Warming up his hands? Like, I wonder if this is going to be a cold meter?
I'll grab the bat shovel.
Freeze my nuts up. All right, your left tire is spinning. You got some cardboard.
Oh my God, Batman's here in the Batmobile. I'm not getting out yet. I'm still cold. Well, that's enough.
All
right. Yeah, you know what? I would actually like to see the Batmobile make an appearance to drive around. I think that would add
would be pretty nice.
That would be sweet.
I would love all his gadgets. If you're going to make the whole city of Gotham, you might as well get him all his whole arsenal of gadgets, like a bike, a fucking, you know, the Batmobile, the Planet Batjet.
I don't see the bike faring too well in a blizzard.
No. I mean, it'd be fun. Would you rather not have it?
Yeah, I would. I don't want to be cruising around on that bike in a blizzard.
All right.
Like, fine. Batman's an idiot.
Through everyone that he's ever fought, it's like a slick of black ice that takes him out. This goes off a bridge.
All right. Anyway, we're going to move on to the discussion for this week, and that's what we think brings you to a game. Is it graphics? Is it gameplay? Is it innovation? Is it, you know, are you attracted to something you never saw before?
Should we start with me? Or
yeah.
All right.
If that's the way you want it.
You're looking at me.
You got it.
Realistically, it's community, meaning my friends and gameplay. If a game's fun and all my friends are playing it, that most attracts me to a game.
What about games that are just coming out? Nobody bought yet. Like, for example, Injustice Tomorrow.
You see, like, that's a game, though. Like, again, I would have... I'm not going to have so much fun just playing it by myself, but when my friends come over after we're done doing, like, this podcast, it'd be fun to knock back a beer or two and play each other. Like, I get most of my fun out of that. Like, it's usually when I'm just sitting here alone, I'm doing something else, or, like... Or I'll play some, like, the really good story games by myself.
Or Bioshock.
Yeah. Well, but not that particular one. Right, right. Dead Space, shit like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if I'm like, I really look forward to like the good multiplayer or community games. Like, those are like, I really get excited about.
I'm the complete opposite, as you know. I dislike multiplayer.
So then, what is it for you? Graphics or.
Not even. Graphics play a part, of course, especially nowadays. But to me, it's more innovation and storyline.
Well, let me ask you this. If a game is graphically shitty, but you've heard that the story's amazing, would you be more likely to pick that up than a game that says that they are going to drop your jaw with these awesome graphics? And
probably just get both, because they're both important.
There's no way.
I'll play for a sec in the great graphic game. I did that in Call of Duty. Eventually, I lost any interest in it because it lacked any kind of substance. But a game like Bioshock, which I found graphically beautiful... And I actually played through that game with a lot of enjoyment, just through the storyline and the attention to detail. And the worst part of the game was actually the gameplay and the shooting. And like, it didn't make a difference to me.
See, I can't handle a gameplay that if the gameplay just stinks, man.
It doesn't stink. It's just
I'm not talking about Bioshock.
Oh, it brought nothing new to the table. That's all.
I'm just saying, if the gameplay just stinks, man, that really weighs on me hard. Like, that Aliens game, the gameplay was rough. It was, like, the controls were just not there. Like, it just wasn't as crisp as it should have been.
I was going to say the two games that are recent that come to mind, like, that even if they have a great story, which I don't know if they do, but are rendered unplayable the Walking Dead game and the Alien game.
Right.
Like, all right, that.
Well, those are that's kind of well, the Walking Dead game. The cash grabs.
The Walking Dead game, though, it didn't have bad controls or anything like
He's
that.
He's talking about the Daryl graphics, game, by the way. Not
yeah,
the,
not I know
the
what he's talking about.
Well, I'm just
the graphics looked awful. And
The graphics really hurt.
I couldn't get past it. It was too, I don't know. Everyone looked like they were made of clay. It was weird.
Yeah, the graphics in that one weren't that great. The gameplay wasn't bad. But, you know, again, like, I could deal with the graphics not being that great. And just as long as it's fun, you know, like what was that? It's kind of retro, but like I mentioned all the time, but like Super Meat Boy is very basic, but it played so well.
But that had a style.
That was stylized. That's different.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's not just like it's 16-bit, but that was what they were going for. Could,
Dishwasher, Dead Samurai, Shank, all those are
very stylized independent games.
Right.
They're actually going for a specific look.
Which is a great way to go if you're not, you know.
The Walking Dead game was obviously going for character likenesses and tie-ins, but failed miserably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty rough, that one.
Can a game lack in graphics for you guys nowadays and you still want to pick it? I mean, like, obviously just a rough-looking game.
I'm trying to think of any examples.
Well, most of the big franchises have all pretty good, like, 8 or better graphics, like, you know, Gears of War, Assassin's Creed, BioShock.
I'm
just thinking of stuff I played recently.
Dead Island. Not great graphically.
Well, but I didn't really care for the gameplay so much. It was very repetitive.
And the story sucked.
I just stayed an all-around shitty game. Sorry.
It was an all-around shitty because like that game probably would have been a lot more like Borderlands. Like that game wasn't fun when I was playing it myself. But if you play with a whole bunch of people, it probably was a lot more fun.
Borderlands again. That wasn't graphically amazing either.
That was
stylized too.
Yeah, I don't really like the graphics in that.
It wasn't even that well styled. I've seen better.
I thought it was interesting
cell shading.
When you're running around in that desert, there was like almost no like. Was it a? Oh my god! You see something? You okay? This is where I am.
Yeah, it was very sparse.
Yeah, dude, it was just all desert. I was like, "Where the fuck am I?"
There was no landmarks.
So it's not like Fallout.
No,
nothing like Fallout. But I mean, Wind Waker again. I talk about that game all the time. Did it better, the cell shading, and that was freaking 10 years before.
You see the HD remix?
It's coming. I know.
Do you see the graphics on it? Looks stunning.
It does, and I need that.
Graphics. I mean, you obviously want like the Super Mario. Like, I'll use that as an example. Like, good, not great in anything, but just good in everything type game. Like, I could. That's what I most like look at. Like, you know, does it have the multiplayer? Does it have the graphics? Is it fun to play? You know, like just everything.
Nintendo's got away with subpar graphics their entire career.
Yeah, but their main games are so fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been fun to play for 30 years.
Yeah,
so.
Has there ever been a game that you picked up and you were like, I don't like the way this plays, but it's so graphically stunning that I need to play it?
That's a good one. That's a good question.
I took me out of Final Fantasy was like that with me. Like especially number 7, like I really loved the graphics, but I just didn't care for that grinding, like pick what you wanted to do type gameplay.
Okay.
You mean a turn-based battle?
Yeah, it just kind of turned me off to the game.
Okay.
I can't really think of one that actually looked great. But I guess the aforementioned Call of Duty it did so little for me. But even though it looked great,
you know,
I'll say this: Uncharted, which I love the games now. Again, I named my son after Nathan Drake.
Yeah.
When I first started them, I didn't particularly care for it, but I plowed through because it is a very generic. I mean, like. There's a lot of that game that I glaze over because it looks so good. Like, the fact that I'm shooting barrels to blow up walls in the middle of a 500-year-old monastery and, like...
Yeah.
And
you know what? I'll tell you right. I just thought of it. It's a sports game, but the show is far superior as far as the MLB The Show. It's only on PS3. It's far superior with the stuff you can do in the game. Like, you know, you could make your own character and develop him throughout the minor leagues and bring him to the majors.
Okay.
And it has a lot of cool things about it. And it's just a funner played game. But the graphics look like garbage. And I usually just went and got 2K, you know, whatever the hell, what year it was, because it was a lot of fun. But then I just stopped playing the baseball games at all because it got very, very just, like, repetitive, man. I was just over it.
All right, and what do you guys feel about innovation? Because I'll actually throw my 2 cents in on this first. Innovative games are great, obviously they need to come out to progress video games, but I still enjoy the controller layout that was kind of set upon by Call of Duty and Gears and everything.
Well, those are first-person shooters.
Left
you know?
Is aim. Well, Gears is a third-person shooter, really.
But still, it's in that same genre of shoot 'em up.
I think you're holding the games that you specifically play. Not everyone plays Gears.
Tomb Raider, BioShock, Gears of War, Call of Duty. These are all massive games.
Right.
But massive franchises. Even Mario Sunshine used the same thing. Aim and point the, you know, left trigger, right trigger, shoots the wall. I mean, this is a very basic controller layout.
GoldenEye basically started
right.
that whole.
I feel comfortable with that controller layout. Every once in a while when it goes out of the box, I mean, I enjoy that, but it's harder.
I got to tell you, I know Gear. The one thing that really annoyed me about Gears this time around, they changed the buttons a little bit. And
Judgment.
Yeah, instead of changing your weapon with the D-pad, you press Y, and I was consistently pressing the stupid D-pad to change my weapon.
For a long time.
Yeah. And once you're so deep into a franchise, I don't want to see a change necessary with the button scheme. Once you had it so perfect, like I think that there's something to be said with consistency. Like,
well, like the Batman, like we were talking about, you hold down, I forget which particular button it is, but to choose your wheel of weapons. If you got a lot of weapons, I enjoy a nice wheel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? But I don't know. I think it's a minor quibble, really. I mean, if you're going from game to game and they're drastically rearranging your scheme. I'm not talking about in the series. I'm just talking about
like that particular controller setup.
Configure
Halo.
Your controller.
I do.
It takes 2 seconds.
Right, but sometimes it doesn't work out like that.
Like Gears, you can't.
Well, like BioShock. BioShock, you aim with your right trigger, which I've seen before, with your right analog, which I've seen before. Uncharted does that too. But occasionally, I still do just try and aim with my left and use the vigor instead. But if I did change it around to, which you can do, you can change it around to the other setup that we're all more familiar with for the most part. I need more access to my vigors. You know, the vigors are just as good as important as the guns.
Right.
So it does. I mess up a lot in the heat of the moment. Not so much as I progress in the game, but you know, it happens.
Hmm. I don't know. Whenever I play a lot of games, and you just adapt.
I mean, I understand that. I'm just saying. All right. Let's put it this way. Let's go from 1, 2, 3. Which one do you guys enjoy more? Graphics, story, or innovation? Let's put them in
when
order.
You
what
say
about gameplay?
Well, I mean, that's kind of hand-in-hand with story, I think.
No.
Story. No, I'd say that's more hand-in-hand with innovation.
He just said that you know, BioShock, the gameplay wasn't all that great, but the story was fantastic.
I mean, it wasn't innovative.
Right.
It was good gameplay. It was fun gameplay.
Okay, so
it
let's
just
do
didn't
that.
Reinvent
gameplay,
the wheel at all.
Story.
Aim gun, shoot gun.
Well, let's do that. What do you look for most? Put them in rank. Graphics, gameplay rather.
I would start with probably story, because
number one,
that's always my favorite.
Okay,
we're at a point now when games are better than movies, so that's one of the big things I look for. I'll put graphics up there. Actually, this is really hard.
I know.
I already got it.
I'd actually put gameplay over graphics than graphics and innovation, because
so
you're lucky
have a
to get
great
good innovation.
Story and decent gameplay, but a real shitty graphics, and you'd be okay.
If it had a great story, and I'm more willing to forgive.
Okay.
Gameplay, story, innovation, graphics.
Graphics are the least important to you.
It doesn't bother me so much. I could really, like, I look past stuff a lot. Like, it doesn't bother me.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good, interesting point. I keep flip-flopping in my own head.
I need gameplay first, because I am a nitpicker, and like I went over the Oblivion game where I just could not climb over like
oh,
a
tree. Oh,
you're
talking about
stump.
Skyrim, Elder Scrolls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't.
That is the most ridiculous argument I've ever heard.
I can't deal with that.
Because you got caught
that.
Up on a, because you had to walk around a tree stump.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous in this day and age. That I can't do a little hop.
You can
something.
Do a hop.
Yeah, but whatever.
It's the Y button.
You don't need that. I need to be able to walk during a multi-tiered landscape.
Then
and
you'd be complaining
up
that you just walk through trees.
No, I don't need to jump over trees. I need to walk over a pebble.
I played
boxed out.
All right, I logged a lot of hours of Skyrim, and I have no idea what the fuck you're referring to when you're talking about getting stuck on pebbles. I never got stuck on anything.
I can't deal with that.
I never got. What are you getting stuck on? Are you sure you're playing the same game?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not playing it anymore.
I
can't deal with mechanics like that. I need to be able to run up anything and climb on things a la Tomb Raider or Uncharted.
They're very, very different games, though.
No.
As far as gameplay.
The new Tomb Raider and Uncharted are not.
I'm saying Skyrim.
Right. Need them to be more like to fall in line with Tomb Raider.
The other complaint I heard from you that I found very funny was like, I can't handle all the names. You're the guy who dissected Harry Potter.
I know every name.
And you're like, I can't handle Skyrim's wacky names. And I was like, but you knew the origin of the term Dumbledore before anybody.
Look. They threw at least what? 10 different races.
Yeah.
4 different towns.
But it's nothing that.
What's it? Do you remember the town you start off on?
Whiterun?
Yeah, I feel like I'm gonna answer.
I gotta say that names are like at the bottom of my list of things I care about.
Yeah, they're not even that important. Yeah. When
you're looking on the map and you gotta find them,
then it actually you just hit the little find on map button and it puts a little cursor there.
Oh, yo, I might say a good game map might be even above the story. I can't tell you how like I hate where they give you like a circle with a bunch of dots on it, and it's like what the hell is this?
But to oppose that. And this is getting a little off topic. I hate it when they just feed it to you. Like in BioShock, for example, you tap up and it's just a big arrow on where to go.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really care for that.
Which is nice when you're stuck, but it does.
I wish it wasn't there for me.
It becomes a crutch.
It does.
You don't have to hit it.
Yeah, it's a choice.
Right, but some of these crutches. Well, for example, let me ask you this. How much of Batman Arkham Asylum and the Arkham games did you play in detective mode? Because I did.
Yeah.
Right. Batman shouldn't know what step the guy is on across the stage when he can't see him. That's not really fair.
I was playing Dead Space, and every time like I get, cuz Dead Space like it's a confined space, a confined area, and it's like a spaceship and everything kind of looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I was hitting that little blue marker every time. I'm like, "Where the fuck am I?"
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's helpful, but it can be a crutch. Oh. And in the case of BioShock, if you abuse that, you're going to miss stuff. Because that'll take you just the most direct route, where if you were to maybe cut through an alleyway, you'd find a voxophone or something cool that you know, furthers your enjoyment. Like, there's one point in the game where you find out where the music's coming from,
mm-hmm.
and I found that spot because I veered off the beaten path.
Nice. Well, I do that, too. That's my gamer instinct to run around.
I do that a lot in Gears of War because I got to find those goddamn cogdags.
Yeah.
it
becomes obsessive. That little noise they make when you find them, it becomes a crack after a while.
Mine is gameplay. I need the graphics at this point. And the story, believe it or not, is almost last for me because if it's a lot of fun on a gameplay, such as Gears of War, Gears of War is a good example where there's just the story is not...
That was the most story.
Yeah, it's not all that's there, but the gameplay is very good, and the graphics are nice.
Yeah, I'll forgive that one. The graphics are great. The gameplay is great. The story did nothing for me, and when I look back on it, when I remember this time of year, between that and BioShock and Skyrim, like the three games I was playing the most,
mm-hmm.
Gears, the new Gears is going to be like forgotten to me. Because there's nothing.
Because of the story?
Because there's nothing there to be like, oh, that one part,
mm-hmm.
that twist at the end.
What about D-Day, bro?
Great.
that was the most insane like part of the game. They're like, would you like to accept the missions where they?
But what he's saying is it's not resonating with them.
It's not going to resonate.
I'll never forget that Locust Beach, bro.
That was a tough board. It was a tough board. It's no harder than the final battle of BioShock. And here's the other thing with BioShock, not to harp on it too much, but the character who fought Elizabeth, your mm-hmm. partner. They do a great job of you actually caring about her. You actually for real care about this character. There's parts where you're separated where you feel it when she's not there scrounging around finding you stuff.
Well, I mean, she is the best escort mission I have ever played.
Oh, yeah, because she actually makes it easier.
You don't have to worry about her health. She always finds shit
for you. I always
used
to hate those in Assassin's Creed where you're like...
I hate
protect
them
the guy, and the guy has like he didn't protect himself.
The first
at all.
Thing it says on screen when she joins you is, "Don't worry about Elizabeth during combat; she can handle herself." It says that right on the screen.
Yeah, and she you doesn't never take worry about any damage. In all fact, she does is every once in a while, if you need health, she goes, "Hey, I have health," and tosses it.
Yeah, one of the best moments for me, I'm fighting a handyman who are these giant like gorilla robot dudes with like human heads, and they have a hole in their chest where there's a heart, and you're supposed
like
to
cyborgs,
try to hit them through the chest, and they're just bullet sponges. They're pains in the ass to kill. But, like, I'm out of ammo, and I've got my last shot on Magnum, and I miss, and then the thing's charging me, and I just hear off, like, Booker, catch, and I turn around, she throws me a fresh gun, pop the guy right in the head and kill him. Like, it was
she's
so cinematic and wonderful. My point being, though, she's great, and then I can't remember any of the characters in Gears aside from Baird and Cole. There's the chick and the
Paddock.
The scarred dude.
Yo,
the Russian.
Sophia.
You didn't play that beach on Insane, bro. I was running for my life out there.
No, I played it with you while you were on Insane because I had to do it 900 times because Insane mode is a lot harder than what I was on.
All right,
kept
well,
dying.
This is all food for thought. Everybody's different. I do enjoy a good story, but I, you know, without getting off topic too much, I read a lot of books, so I get my stories that way.
Thanks for that knowledge.
Yeah. I'm better than you, by the way.
Yeah, by the way.
I read.
Talking about being better than you guys. You guys want to do the quiz?
Let's do the quiz.
Right. Top quiz, hotshot. Not the meanest. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass so hard that the next Bison wannabe is going to feel it.
Quiz time.
Just a recommendation after hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
I saw on YouTube last night. Look this up. Man does a cappella Giles theme.
Oh, really?
He does 9 different parts, and it's beautiful.
I just found my new ringtone.
It's him going, bop, 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 bop.
Anyway, today's quiz is going to be, well, this week's quiz, rather, is going to be In Other Words, in which I take video game titles, and I say other words about them, and you can guess what they are. I'll give you a few examples. If I were to say Ground Crawler James.
Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim. If I was to say Shout of Responsibility.
Wait, what was it?
Shout of Responsibility.
Call of Duty.
There you go.
Okay. I'm going to be so bad at this.
What? No. No.
Yes.
Why?
This is not my forte.
Shout of Responsibility sounds like such a boring game, by the way.
Shout. That's like the fucking...
It says, clean your room!
Anyway,
the Japanese version of that game.
That would be points.
Military man shoot game.
I'm going to keep points, of course, like always, and it's just you two tonight. So the first round is going to be easier games, probably games that we all are fresh in our minds. Second round is going to be ones that are a bit older. Third round is going to be actually opposites, which is going to be difficult.
Explain that when we get there.
Yeah. And the third one, and the fourth and final round is going to be one word.
Okay.
One word game.
Now, are we raising our hands or just calling them out?
Raising the hands.
Alrighty.
Raising the hands, because I got to give people who are playing at home a little leeway.
Sure.
Okay, so without further ado, first round, worth 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. The work instruments of battle.
Gears of War. Oh.
I believe I had my hands up first for that one.
He did have his hands up first.
Give it to Brian.
All right.
He obviously knew it.
Giant Shock got it.
You know what? I'm messing around with my computer, and I'm like not paying
what
attention.
You plan on looking them up? Like thesaurus.com?
No. I'm
by the way, these are all sanctioned from thesaurus.com. Like, I just grabbed.
Oh, you actually found
mm-hmm.
these? Okay, cool.
There's occasionally one or two that I had to stretch the limits.
I was just messing with the gain in one of the microphones, and I was just like... I know that one. Gears of War. All right. I'm no longer messing with anything. All right.
Point the giant shot.
All right.
Shred of wood. Spore. We got Max Barracuda.
Splinter Cell.
You got it.
Spore.
I was gonna go with Prisoner's Room.
Okay.
But Spore was a little harder. That's a little too easy. Okay. 50% existence.
Half-Life.
Nice.
Giant Shock goes to Giant Shock. We got to slow this down. We got to give people a second to think about it. Okay.
What's on you?
Here's a good one. Excellent Collision Siblings. Giant Shock.
Smash Brothers.
I'll give it to him.
He was looking for Super.
I was looking for Super Smash.
Give me a fucking break.
Excellent collisions.
You got to pay attention to my... well, whatever. No, I guess that's fine. Okay. We got one. Bent Alloy.
Oh, got it.
Max.
Twisted Metal.
You got it.
I'm going to get you, Trebek.
And that's it. That's it for round one. After round one, John Shock's got 3, and Max is...
In the face!
Oh, so that's why you made that.
We were wondering why you were coming up with those skits.
I was waiting for you. You were writing a bunch of stuff, so I was like, I find these things funny.
Yeah. I was writing before the show, and he was just coming up with clips. Max has 2.
Okay.
Going into round 2, these are games that their heyday was not on recent...
Okay, older games.
They're older games.
They're older games.
Are you trying to do a little wordplay?
I was trying a little classiness.
No, I thought you were trying to like do the same game you are by explaining it to us, like...
Dude, you're getting too psychologically into my
head. Yeah.
Well, good. Your head's in the game, man.
No, because this was sound like you were trying
really
to do it.
He's really going into it. He's going hard.
He's talking like Yoda.
Anyway, number 1 in round 2. Points are doubled. Celestial Attackers.
Space Invaders.
There you go. Let's do it. 2 points for you. The second one. Jab Ejected. Max Barracuda.
Punch Out.
Yeah. You got it. Combat Amphibians. Giant Shock.
Battletoads.
You got it. Nice.
Combat.
This one, I don't know if you guys are going to get. Order and Overcome. You guys are going to have to shoot after that one. You both, that was like balls on. Wait. Rock, paper, scissors, do it.
All right.
Okay.
Max won.
What was it again? I forgot to enter rock, paper,
scissors. Order and Overcome.
Command and Conquer?
You got it.
Damn it.
Okay, this one.
Wait, further note, we should come up with a better way to... Like a coin or something.
Yeah, that's a big dead space in the
audience. Impromptu fucking...
Yeah, people are listening to play rock,
okay,
paper, scissors.
That's at 57 minutes. I'm going to have to go and edit that out.
Rock, paper, scissors does not translate well to radio.
This is a squad for your fucking...
Rock, paper,
audio rock, paper, scissors.
That's going to be my next intro next week. All right. Here's a good one. Main actor, Beauty Queen.
Main actor, Beauty Queen?
Mm-hmm. Or main actor, Hot Woman? I'll give you each 5 seconds. 1, 2.
I just don't know it.
And we're done. The main actor of a film is also known as a... Star.
I was thinking, Star Fox.
Star Fox.
I was off on lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Star Fox.
I was just like dead pulse. I was like, bee. I was like, did not get that
anyway,
one.
We're going to go with the next, and that is Beast's Walkway. Max.
Animal Crossing.
You got it.
I forgot that was a game.
I know. They're getting harder. Now we're going into round 3, and at the end of round 3, Max pulled ahead. He's got 10 points, and Giant Shack's got 5.
Shoot the J. Shoot it!
That has nothing to do with the podcast.
That's funny, though.
I love it. This one is the negatives, in which I will say words that actually are the exact antithesis or opposite of the intended word.
Okay, then.
How much are these worth?
Captain Vocabulary.
These are worth 3. We have before... Chiller. Max?
Afterburner?
You got it.
Okay.
See how that
Took
works?
Me a second.
Now, these are very hard to come up with. So that's why I didn't have an example readily available. Gotcha. I only have 5.
Okay.
Unexceptional charity pedestrian.
Unacceptable charity.
Unexceptional, not acceptable.
Oh, Damn. This is tough.
Oh, yeah. These ones are rough.
Man. I don't know.
No?
Pete.
Nah. Just read it.
Okay. The opposite of unexceptional is grand. The optional of charity is theft.
All right.
Pedestrian was a bit of a stretch. I was hoping you guys get Grand Theft and put the pieces together.
Right.
Okay.
Well, charity threw me off.
I know.
Because I was like, charity. I was like, what's the opposite of charity?
What kind of game is like the Great Giving King?
Right, but you gotta remember it's the opposite.
Yeah, but I was trying to think what the hell
King
was that.
Definitely,
yeah.
CJ. anyway, this one to. Oh no! I don't
did you
that
fuck
one.
Up?
Yeah, I did. Anyway, to fill, and then filled.
John.
You got it.
Oh, nice.
All right.
That's a good one. Yeah. Wow. That one was clever.
Thank you. Okay. In standing. The word in and then the word standing. They're opposites.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. I
don't think out sitting is a game.
Out sitting is not.
In standing. I'm going too literal with these opposites.
Sitting is a good guess. Oh, I mean,
just tell us.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Outrun.
Yeah, I wouldn't have got it.
It's the only one that was. I mean, that was actually on the.
I'm not even positive what game that is.
That's why I
wouldn't
Outrun.
You guys don't know Outrun?
No,
I don't think so.
It was in the arcade. It was also on Sega. It was about that red car.
I know what game that is.
Blonde dude and the blonde chick.
Oh, okay.
I know what game that is.
Okay. I wouldn't have remembered it.
Okay, we got the last one of the round.
Okay.
Blue, living, damnation.
Red Dead Redemption.
You got it.
Okay.
And at the end of round three, Max is leading with 16 points and Giant Shock has 7. This one is worth 4 points, however, and...
Anybody's game.
Is it the last question?
No. Oh. There's, let's look. There's 5 in the last category. You possibly get 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all one-word games. They might not be one-word clues. Thank you.
But the titles of the games are single. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. First one, Perilous Drop.
I gotta remember we're not going opposites.
No. Quite literal. A Perilous Drop. One word game.
I'm just gonna try one. Pitfall?
You got it.
Nice.
These were actually the hardest ones to come up with, that's why. Because it's hard to come up with the opposite of just the one.
Mm-hmm. I haven't made a Pitfall game in a while.
And by the way, anyone who wonders where the Nintendo games are, there's no opposite of Zelda, Mario, Metroid, Kirby. Believe me, I thought about it.
Jigglypuff.
Mm-hmm. Pokemon. No.
No, I'm saying.
No opposite.
You say, instead of saying Kirby, just be like Jigglypuff.
Okay. They're literally the same character. They're not opposite.
One guy's got a marker.
Right. Okay, we got this one. Not explored. Max.
Uncharted?
You got it. Damn, Ken Jennings, why don't you calm down?
I like these games.
Okay, third one. Bad in reputation.
I think I know it. But now I feel bad buzzing in.
Why?
No, there's no. Ken Jennings never felt bad when he took Jeopardy.
All right, bad in reputation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll raise my hand.
I see your hand is raised.
It's an audio media.
Right.
Infamous?
You got it.
Okay. It means more than famous.
Okay.
My big problem is I don't know any of these games.
I know for a fact.
Dig
you know,
Dug was like, Dig Dug!
I know for a fact you know the last two.
Okay.
Okay. Vapor or fog?
Oh.
Max Barracuda.
Mist?
You got it.
I can't say.
Well, you missed it, so. And the last one, the Redeemer. Unpleasant Fate.
Unpleasant Fate.
Or Impending Unpleasantness.
Doom?
Doom.
Oh. Good.
Nice.
I was nowhere close on that.
And at the end of our game, Giant Shack has a respectable 11, and Max Barracuda has a phenomenal 28.
Glad
of 2 weeks right, running. So that was a game. That was a game.
I that shit I either knew or I just did not know those.
That game appealed to my natural love of wordplay.
He's really into it, ladies and gentlemen. He's looking at me.
I like games. I like to win.
And by ladies and gentlemen, I mean most likely just gentlemen.
Yeah. Chubby ladies or
chubby ladies and gentlemen, chubby gentlemen. Anyway, that wraps it up for the quiz. I hope everybody had fun. I had fun.
I like that one.
Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna go into the fantasy glitch now. We're not gonna go into the fantasy glitch.
Usually, it's the history.
Oh, we're gonna go into the history. If I would have done my history.
History of Gaming.
I can't believe with that epic intro, I forgot History of Gaming.
Well, as we talked about last week, this week I'm just going to throw out some facts about Mega Man.
Okay, lay it on me.
All right, not going to do it the same way. We're not going to go through the whole history. I just found some interesting facts that
I
like.
He's blue.
Zelda, everybody loves that storyline. Mega Man, or if I would have got into Mario's storyline, it's very convoluted. I mean, that's an obvious video game.
Yeah, and Mega Man gets pretty wacky in its storyline because there's several different series that each take place 200 years apart from other, you know, like they just keep going further.
I think the Zelda was like a one shot on the storyline.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, so let's kick it off. So first Mega Man game came out 1987 in December in Japan, and it was the first game of its kind to use the level select option. So, whereas Mario was very linear.
Wait,
Zelda,
was it Mario didn't have that before? Like, how they don't count
Mario
that
3,
he's on a little map?
We're talking like Mario 1 here.
Mario 3 started that?
Mega Man.
No, Mega Man was.
Mario. They started that in Mario 3?
Yeah, that didn't come about till the third game. Yep. So, like, Mario had the linear gameplay, Zelda had very open world. So, Mega Man was the first to kind of bring this into the world and, you know, kind of innovative. Originally in Japan, we all know this, but he was named Rockman, as he was Rock and his sister was Roll, which started a very long and extensive history of the whole series using musical references. Before they came to Rockman, though, a couple other names they came up with were Mighty Kid, Knuckle Kid, and Rainbow Man.
I would have liked Knuckle Kid.
Rainbow Man.
Well, you know, he changes colors every time he gets a power.
As a matter of fact, hearing Knuckle Kid, I think I found the name for my next child.
Knuckle Kid.
Knuckles.
Knuckle Kid.
So when the game was being released in North America, it was Rockman, but Capcom's Consumer Products Division President, Joe Morici, changed the name because, and this is a direct quote, that title was horrible.
I agree.
Also,
I fully concur, sir.
Things like, to go back to the musical thing, like, you know, Proto Man, Mega Man's brother, was in Japan is known as Blues. And later we had characters like Bass and Treble showed up. Mega Man's dog, Rush, was actually a reference to series creator Kenji Inafune's favorite band.
Wow.
So it was actually named after Rush, the band.
Nice. Yeah, I gotcha.
Supposedly in Mega Man 2, Roll was actually supposed to be a playable character, and it was going to be multiplayer. They actually scrapped it pretty quickly with the co-op.
Oh, that would have been great.
They didn't want, they stopped it because they didn't want to promote a game that starred a girl, because most of their audience at that time, especially, was all male.
They'd be like, how could she hang off the side of those platforms with the tiny feet the women
So, you mentioned before he's blue. Mm-hmm. That is a fact. And the reason they went with that is because the original NES had a color palette of 54 colors.
Mm-hmm.
And there just happens to be slightly more blues in the palette than any other color.
Okay.
So, to kind of improve the sprite, they went with blue. And you know how he changes colors when he gets a new power or weapon, that actually happened on accident. They accidentally programmed in that when he was using one of the weapons, he pulled his palate from the weapon itself, from the villain. They liked it enough, and it actually became prominent throughout the series.
Oh, that was big, the visual on power I was particularly using.
So, yeah.
That was cool. I like that.
Just happy accident. Worked out pretty nice. Now it's iconic. So you guys know Dr. Light and Dr. Wily, the series, the Mega Man's creator and his greatest enemy.
I know him.
Thomas Light was named for Thomas Edison, even though his design was based on Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
And Albert Wily was named after Albert Einstein. And considering that Einstein was instrumental in the creation of the atomic bomb, it's not a surprise that Japanese game developers would make him the villain.
Even though that hurts my feelings.
You're not like Albert Einstein.
Yeah, you know, Mega Man continued to
evolve. His quotes no go on our Facebooks.
So Mega Man evolved a lot over the course of a couple of years. Mega Man 3 introduced a slide move. Mega Man 4 introduced the Mega Buster.
The slide move was awesome. That was such a big help.
Yeah, I guess he didn't really get his own moves till Mega Man 3. Although,
yep, that's when they introduced the slide, and all of a sudden he had a little bit more. Remember the old games? He couldn't duck. He was jump shoot. That was it.
As soon as that was introduced, I don't know about anyone else, but I used to like to slide in the chamber like I was the man.
Yeah.
You know, when you're facing that last boss, you slide.
Every single time.
Yeah.
But then in 2008's downloadable Mega Man 9, they actually got rid of all that and reverted him back to his original skill set.
Just jump?
Just jump and shoot, which is why I didn't like that one as much.
I loved when they brought the slide in, man. It was so time based. Like, you know, okay, like three little dots would come your way. You have to not jump, then jump over that. And
yep.
With the slide, it just added so many things that you could do.
It gave you a little bit of momentum.
Yeah,
it was fun. And Mega Man has also been in a variety of other genres of game. So he was a sports star in Mega Man Soccer. He was a race car driver in Mega Man Battle and Chase.
Were these games in the 90s or?
Yeah, I remember Mega Man Soccer for SNES. I played it. He was a board game piece in Wily and Wright's Rock Board. So he's been
Capcom.
In, of course, Marvel Capcom in the fighting games. Most recently, he showed up in the PS3 version of Street Fighter X Tekken, but he's actually an aged and obese version of Mega Man based off the original box art from the original game.
Really?
If you look at the original game, he's in blue and yellow, and he looks kind of doughy and weird. That's the Mega Man they put in. He has a pistol instead of his gun arm and...
I was disappointed that he never made it to a Smash Brothers game.
Yeah, me too.
It seemed only natural.
Well, Capcom has their deal with, you know, Marvel.
Yeah, they're all over.
I would have liked to see it, though. You know?
Yeah, I would have liked to see Mario. I mean, not Mario. God of War, what's his face?
Kratos.
Kratos. I'd like to see all of them.
Kratos is not showing up in Super Smash.
No, he's in PlayStation Battle All-Star.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, I would like to see all the guys in one game, but, you know, I'll take what I get.
All
right,
so
it just felt right. As a matter of fact, I would like to see Bomberman, too. But.
Yeah, Bomberman would be cool. Why not?
Anyway.
All right, so on to Mega Man X, which was actually probably my favorite series of Mega Man games. Originally, during the development, Zero, the character Zero, was meant to be the new Mega Man. There wasn't going to be the familiar blue. It's going to be red with the ponytail and the sword.
Now, was he taking up the Mega Man mantra as in they weren't going to transition? Or was he good? Gonna symbolically pass the gauntlet.
It was
Mega Man was gonna retire.
It was more gonna be in the future. There's no Mega Man, so Zero is considered the Mega Man of the time. Capcom pulled the plug. They didn't want that kind of drastic change, so they made Zero an unplayable side character, and which I thought was better. And then way later down the line on the Game Boy Advance, he eventually got his own series,
like Knuckles.
Yeah,
from the Sonic.
Very much so. Even the color schemes match up there.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I think most people know, but in Mega Man X5, in the American release, all of the robot bosses are named for members of Guns N' Roses.
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
So you had Grizzly Slash. You had Duff McWhalen, Duff McKagan, Squid Adler, who was Steven Adler. You had Axel the Red, who was Axel Rose, and so on. Japanese version, completely different. It was actually done by the American translator, Allison Court, whose husband was a big fan of Guns N' Roses, and she kind of snuck it in as a tribute to him. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
What a ballsy move for your job.
It really is, right?
Right.
Just change all these characters. And frankly...
Do you think the Japanese people care? Come on, Knuckle Boy? Like, what the fuck do they give a shit?
No, I guess they don't care.
There's nothing on Rainbow Man.
Rainbow Man.
But I'm saying,
I'm gonna skip the game.
There are so many bilingual people nowadays. How does it still get... I mean, I remember the story of Donkey Kong, where that was lost in translation. That's... I mean, that's plausible somewhat, even in the 80s. I mean, in the 80s, not one person double-checked it before they decided to put a multi-million dollar print out.
Right, right. Like the
over in Japan, by the way, it's Monkey Kong, but when it came over to America due to a small typo, it came out Donkey Kong, and everyone's like, oh, fuck it, it's Donkey Kong. Yeah.
It's just up there with the famous Pac-Man Puck-Man story.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I only got a few more little things here. Brian, here's one you might find funny.
No, I love them.
In 2006, Capcom released a remake of the original Mega Man called Mega Man Powered Up for the PSP. The game was kind of panned because it had this really chibi style, like cartoony kitty giant heads on little bodies animation style. And they added in a couple of new characters, and like new villains, two new villains to be exact. One of them, Oil Man, had a large black head with big peach-colored lips.
So and he works for BP, and he just ruins wildlife.
Needless to say, when it made its way to America, they changed it to dark blue with yellow lips.
This racism is killing me inside. Yeah.
Which is always funny to me that this is... It also happened in Pokemon with the Pokemon Jinx.
Jinx.
Japanese like their blackface, and they just can't...
Maybe they just don't get it.
I guess not. Or they just don't care. It's pretty insulting now.
Black people are a myth to them.
Also, they had a comic book come out to go along with the game, but in the comic book they were just lazy and they just drew a scarf around his face.
Well, maybe it might be like they don't just get it. Like where like Ryu, he's Japanese in the fucking video game apparently, mm-hmm. but he looks almost exactly like Ken with brown hair.
Right.
He's Japanese in the American release too. Just so you
fly. That's what I'm saying. They draw him like a white guy though.
Oh, I see. That's what I mean.
So it's hard to tell he's Japanese.
Ken is supposed to be half Japanese.
Yeah, and those guys look like white dudes.
I know.
Yeah.
Like totally blonde.
Literally, the Ryu in the movie was way more Japanese.
Well, this isn't history of Street Fighter. We can do that next week if you want.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that next week.
All right. Another case of changes between the American and Japanese versions came out with Mega Man 02. Which was a Game Boy Advance game.
Quick question with the Zero franchise, like, where did that differ from?
Oh, that takes place way in the future. Mega Man X, past Mega Man Battle Network, past all those. All
right.
It was, I think, 200 years after Mega Man X, I think. But you play as Zero as the main protagonist, and you're part of, like, this resistance squad. But anyway, in the game, you know, you have your power sword.
Mm-hmm.
As you slashed robots, blood would shoot out of them.
Nice.
Obviously, that didn't make its way to America, which they just took it out completely. It seemed kind of trivial.
I'm surprised they didn't do it in Ninja Turtles.
Just make it black?
Yeah. Oil.
Like oil?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Last little fact to tie everything together that's actually nice that you went into Street Fighter. Because if you guys didn't know, for the 25th anniversary of Mega Man and the 25th anniversary of Street Fighter, Capcom released on their website, you can download this today for the PC, Street Fighter X Mega Man, which is a Mega Man game, but replacing the 8 robot bosses are 8 Street Fighter characters.
Nice.
It is a blast if you haven't tried it.
It's like a Flash game?
Yeah, it looks like Mega Man 2 graphically.
Nice.
It really cool.
Are the boards the same except the...
No, the boards are catered to the characters that you're fighting.
Oh my god.
So the one board that I remember specifically is you're flying through Akuma's board. And he's got those Japanese symbols that are on his back blasting at you and stuff.
I can't believe you didn't give me a phone call for that.
And you get to take the various powers of the various Street Fighters as you progress through the game.
So that's me. Quick question. Ryu's.
Yeah.
What are you shooting?
Probably heading to Hadouken.
That's what I figured.
Well, in the trailer for the game, which I have a Mac. I can't really play this thing, but I watch some videos. It's Mega Man on top of that tall. You remember the beginning of Mega Man 2? Where he's standing on top of the building. That's the intro to the game, and then he just gets wailed in the back by a Hadouken. And it pans over, and there's little, like, sprite Ryu standing there. It's pretty good.
That's amazing.
So that's our Mega Man history.
All right.
All right. Well, now that that's over, I think we're going to go into history of gaming. No, I know.
It confused me.
I know. Now we're going into Fantasy Glitch, everyone.
Glitch!
I'm never not going to laugh at that.
I love that so much.
The only one I like better is coming out of the closet.
Which is
Fantasy Glitch, just so everyone knows, is when we come up with a something in video games that may never happen, but we would love to see happen.
Mm-hmm.
Max, what do you got?
Nothing. No, I was thinking about it. The only thing I really, that I was pining for this week is...
cheaper games.
Free games.
Yeah. No, I want to see a return to...
a dollar stretcher.
Well, now.
All right. What were you trying to say?
There's a... because I've been obsessing over Bioshock. There's a moment in the game that you're essentially in a mental hospital. And there's a moment that actually made me jump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a while since I properly jumped.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, we need some survival horror back. Proper survival horror. None of this Resident Evil action game stuff. And even Dead Space, which was the last good survival horror game that I can remember.
Well, the problem with Resident Evil is, well, now the gameplay is so much better, but the story's not there. But at least you're not right. Walking around trying to find, like, spade keys all day.
It doesn't have to be that ridiculous. I just want proper survival horror. Think of any game that's kind of horror-based now.
Dead Space does a good job.
But in the later ones, I hear it kind of loses its edge as far as the scariness, and it goes more into, like, an action-based game, like the way Resident Evil went.
The biggest beef I ever had with any of those games were, like, the half-beaten-down doors that you can look through already, and they're like, oh, it's locked. There's nothing you can do about it.
Well, we live in an age now where you could actually probably do something cool.
I'd like to kick down doors.
It's not necessarily a horror game, but you put that shit on insane, you play Guild Gears, you will start jumping. Because
I don't know about
everything's
that.
Out to get you. You're
yeah, but it's not proper horror,
bro. When
I'm talking
when
horror.
A mauler kicks a door
turn
down,
the
and he's
lights.
Like,
I want a game like. Did anybody play Fatal Frame 2?
No,
scariest goddamn game I've ever played. I want to be Fatal frightened Frame. By a game.
The well, that has to do with the story, more or less.
No,
right?
The presentation.
No, that is pretty much presentation. I think we've went back to it before, but when that first zombie turns around in Resident Evil. That's all presentation.
When you're marching down the ship in Dead Space 1 and you hear those things skittering through the air vents and you don't know where it's going to come from, the next thing you know, something grabs your leg and starts dragging you.
Well, the best part about that is proper. You could be like talking to somebody like in like a movie mode, like you know, but it's not really a movie if you played Dead Space.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden something grabs you and you're like, oh, my God. Like
exactly. Yeah. And like the Bioshock moment was fun and all. It's a very creepy stage in a otherwise very bright game, but... like it made me want to actually jump at
well,
a game again.
To go along with what you're saying, I love it when a game takes me out of a game a la Metal Gear, when Psycho Mantis made me plug in my second controller, or even Batman when the Scarecrow's with the Arkham Asylum
that
one,
was
this
awesome.
Scarecrow's powder made me think that my CD skipped.
Mm-hmm. Or a few weeks ago, I talked about Eternal Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Like something like that. That was proper. Scary.
I do love that.
Cool, man.
Yeah. All right. So, Giant Shock, you got a fantasy glitch for us?
I do. The new Xbox coming out this fall, and everyone's complaining over the fact that it's, oh, I got to be online all the time. But what if the Xbox...
I'm complaining about that, too.
All right. Well, what if the Xbox was its own internet Wi-Fi hotspot?
I love that.
I do love that.
And, like, wherever you paid for your Xbox Live, let's call it, like, $65, whatever it is right now, right? And it doesn't matter where, if you have internet in your house because it's your own Wi-Fi hotspot, like it would revolutionize gaming. I think that would kill PS3 if that was their innovation.
That would be the nail in the PS3 coffin.
Didn't matter what PS3
PS4
did. If you got internet.
PS4.
Yeah. But and it would take all the edge off of that always online shit.
If I got free internet and...
wouldn't be free because you'd be paying Xbox Live.
It would be
but
with your
$65,
subscription.
$65
might not
year.
Be if they do that.
Perhaps it might be a little...
But I'd be willing to pay because I wouldn't have a cable vision bill.
Well, like I already said, I already use mainly Netflix and Hulu. That's really what I do. I have the most basic cable, and I don't even really watch that.
Yeah, I do the same. And that would be – ditch that shitty router I have. And
especially if Microsoft launched a TV service at the same time.
A la Hulu kind of thing?
No, well, Hulu is a little lacking. As far as I'm concerned.
I mean, like, along those lines. Something.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Or, I mean, in general, like, what if you could just hook... I think I actually did hear that you could hook up your cable to your Xbox. So, like, let's just say, what if they become a cable provider in general? And, like, it's all one shot.
That's a bit much. I'm okay with the hotspot.
Well, in general, it wouldn't be just great.
I mean, the one-stop shop I would be down for. For example, I'm following a series called Vikings right now, which isn't available on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing really I can do about that. But wait. but if they really beefed up, if either Hulu stepped it up and became the Netflix they're supposed to be, mm-hmm. or if...
Netflix is the Netflix it's supposed to be.
I know. Well, I have both. Hulu, I have, and I watch the occasional show on, mm-hmm. but...
Well, I mean, like, literally, companies like Cablevision, Verizon, Fios, they would have to change their whole, pricing scheme.
Well, we're talking about the Eastern Coast. We're based in New York, Cablevision and whatnot. But all around the country, they would have to. All cable providers would have to change their shit around.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you just went to Xbox and let's say you paid like $100 a month, wherever it was, right? But you got your internet and your TV plus your video games. Like, why?
Oh,
would
Microsoft would own the planet at that point.
Yeah,
if they became a national cable provider.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be kind of.
I love it. I love that idea.
I really like this idea.
Plus, you're onto
something here.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think that would be really, really cool, and that would be a real innovation. Forget graphics, and forget dumb little stupid things like we've seen from console to console. Like, oh, the graphics a little bit better. Oh, the online, but like that would literally change your life.
And we know Microsoft has been looking somewhat into innovations in the home. That would be excellent.
Yeah.
I definitely love that.
I'm so impressed with your fantasy glitch. I'm almost embarrassed to say mine.
I'm trying to change the world of gaming.
Right, I know. change the world completely. Yeah. Mine is just...
I'm glad I got to go first. I have to follow that.
Anyway, for those of you who have been cleared out after Giant Shock's massive bomb that he dropped within the world, my fantasy glitch is a war game in which online players get to be different generals, because we all know that wars aren't won by one person,
real-time strategy.
Like games. Warcraft or Spacecraft, bro. Yeah.
People, bear with me. I'm talking about real-time strategy games that involve perhaps... let's put it in perspective. Let's say there was a World War II game in which each one of us got to be a country of either the Axis or Alliance versus the other three.
Shot not Poland or France.
They were not powers, believe it or not. But let's say that I was Britain, Johnny Chalk was America.
Fuck yeah.
Okay.
And
you're not going to assign me one?
Pete's the Japs.
Pete is the Nazis. And, I'm talking about a risk type situation in which Giant Shock maybe getting his ass kicked in Europe and he needs me to come over. I'm talking about a command and conquer on like a larger scale of just one player versus one player.
It sounds like you want a giant game of Risk.
I don't want to purge the balloon too bad, but you know those Warcraft and Spacecraft games have up to like 16 teams.
These things
fuck
get
you and your amazing
big
fantasy glitch.
Well, I'm just telling you, like, they do have like a multiple people.
You didn't have one last week. You had 3 weeks to think of this.
I made up all the little things.
Yeah. Rise wants a lot of stuff that already exists.
No. But I'm talking about on a global scale, comparative to online massive MMORPGs, in which if you're losing in a particular section, you can beef it up. Like in Final Fantasy XII, you could lose ground in a particular situation, and if you belong to a town, you could go there and kind of build up your town's rep in that area.
Warcraft, StarCraft.
No, they don't do that in StarCraft.
Yeah, if you're having problems, I can go to your place and start building stuff.
Suck my balls.
It's been out since the mid-90s.
I didn't play.
There's a new one out. You might want to try it.
Suck my balls.
His reality glitch.
By the way, this is A Squad coming out of the closet.
Hot stuff coming through.
Dad, why did you bring me to a gay steel mill?
I don't know.
Coming out of the closet.
Welcome to A Squad coming out of the closet, where we reach deep into our closets and pick out an old school game.
And promptly forget about that last segment.
And you can't even edit that. John Shaw can't edit.
You want me to edit it?
Just take it all
out. Oh, no, sir. Leave it in.
Anyway, my game is a game that I referred to in the quiz that I really love, the Afterburner.
Afterburner, yeah. Fun one.
Did you play the arcade version?
That's what I was about to bring up. Did you guys play it on Genesis or
in no? That was all arcade.
On the consoles, it was very forgettable.
On the consoles, it was very, very forgettable. You're right. But in the arcade, it actually had multiple cabinets.
No, I see. I didn't like the one where you stood up. I like the one where you were sitting down in that in the folk thing.
They had
my
three,
cousin puked in that thing.
They had
awesome.
Three different cabinets. They had one where you sat down and it was immobile. They had one where it actually lifted you. This was the best one, by the way. It lifted you about 2 feet off the ground and then fully moved around, mm-hmm. which was by far the best. And then they had the stand-up one, which was kind of for chumps.
Yeah, man. I definitely, the one that moved around, like, all the place was, I don't care how much it cost in the arcade. That was my favorite one to go on.
I played that at Adventureland. I played that at Fun Zone and at Spaceplex, all those places.
That was the first time I really felt the speed of the game. Arcade. Like I played Pole Position and Outrun and the other games that I've mentioned before.
Didn't you say Pole Position was a fucking Atari game?
Yeah, it was.
Did you feel the speed on that one?
No, but I said this was the first time I felt
those little
the
blocks
speed
moved
in,
really
in
quick.
I didn't say this was the third time. I said this is the first time I really felt like I was moving along at that speed. And
Was that a Sega game? Like, they made that, like, the company made that game, right?
Yeah, but they made it for the arcade first, and then they...
Well, Jay, it was they made the game, though. Like, it was their game.
Mm-hmm. This was the first time I remember that the pedal system was introduced also, where that helped you turn more sharply or not. Anyone remember that?
I don't remember the pedal so much.
Yeah, left or right.
It had a clutch?
Not a clutch sense. It had a kind of a drift pedal at the bottom. It was a cross. It was almost like a seesaw.
Yeah, I don't remember
where
that.
You turned with your left and you...
Oh, okay.
You do remember.
Yeah, now
do
I remember. Do. Yeah, pedals kind of putting it in a weird way.
I know.
But I know what you mean.
I don't remember that.
It was kind of like a seesaw. It is very hard to describe.
Yeah, it was like
balance kind of like
space.
A balance board at the bottom where you'd lean on your left, so you would also hit the control left, and you would turn much harder to the left.
That's coming back to me a little bit. That's been a long time.
Yeah,
since,
it would drift a little bit to the left if you hit the balance board on the bottom and then did not hit the controller. it was an awesome game, and it was the first game that I was really excited to see from the arcade go into the mainstream home consoles, even though it didn't really translate that well.
Mm. Yeah, you kind of need the cabinet for it.
Yeah.
But I remember it fondly. That was fun.
I have a lot of good memories with it. Max, what do you got?
All right. Well, like I said, Bioshock got me thinking about mindfuck endings, really. So my
Vanilla Sky, the video game.
Not quite, but this one's only from a few years back, 2005, and it was a... from Capcom and Grasshopper Studios, and from Suda51, who's the developer of Lollipop Chainsaw, which I know you like, Shark.
That's a good game.
It's Killer 7. I don't know if you guys...
I've never heard of it.
You never heard of it?
Which is odd.
For PlayStation and GameCube, and it was a really unique, really bizarre game with a crazy ending. Pretty much, it's a rail shooter-style first-person game. You could shoot wherever, but you're on specific paths. The story is you're a team of 7 hitmen who are all the same guy, just different alternate personalities of his.
Nice.
You fight...
Did it play differently for each person you were?
Each guy had a different ability.
Was there like a, for lack of a better word, pussy character?
Oh, of course. Well, I'm trying to remember all of them. There were a lot. My favorite was, and they all had the last name Smith, because you were, I think, Harmon Smith was the main guy, and then he turned into all the other Smiths. So my favorite was Mask the Smith, who was a giant luchador. And you also had, like, Coyote Smith, who was Mexican gunslinger.
Would you change physical appearance, or you would always...
Yeah, whole thing.
Wow.
Really mind-fucky game. Ends up being a whole commentary on America and Japan and religion, and it's bizarre. Really bizarre, but a lot of fun, and it kept me going. The villains were the creepiest. They were called the Heaven Smiles, and they would just slowly walk at you while giggling. And they had these giant grins, very unsettling.
That was all the
Was
villain?
This the end of Xbox or the beginning of 360, like that era?
This is before. This is GameCube and PS2.
Well, Xbox.
What
GameCube.
System was this for?
I played it on GameCube.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a lot to kind of explain. I recommend you look into it because it's...
I'm going to at least Wikipedia it.
And it led,
sounds very interesting.
It led to a lot of other games that I enjoyed by the same studio. Like I said, the Lollipop Chainsaw, the No More Heroes series.
No More Heroes.
Which is great. So it's interesting.
Okay. Giant Shark.
Was it,
what are you rolling with?
I like going just like out of the norm and sometimes throwing out a game that just sucked. And I don't know if you all played it, but I used to waste a dollar at a time in the arcade, but Dragon's Lair was the fucking most garbage game. I don't know why anyone thought that gameplay was going
to
be any fun.
For anyone who wants to learn how to play Dragon's Lair, you pop a dollar in, you watch your character die, and then you don't do that.
Yeah,
I never made it into the goddamn castle.
I'll tell you this. I never figured out once what to do without watching him die first.
Oh, yeah, because how were you supposed to know that spikes were going to shoot out of something or that there was a pit there?
That was the most unfair game. It gave you three lives, and there was buttons, but what the fuck were the buttons going to do besides say start? It was like...
I remember playing that for the first time, and he's rolling up to the castle, and I'm like, oh, cool intro. It looks like a real car. He's dead? Like, right. Am I supposed to do something?
And was it me, or did he look like the Dick Knight from that Sword in the Stone movie?
He definitely looked like
definitely looked like him.
The reason why he caught my eye was, this is like the early 90s, the graphics in the game were great, and I was like, wow, this looks like a for real cartoon.
A TV
this,
show.
Yeah, this must be awesome.
It was a Don Bluth.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was a big animation guy back then.
It looked fantastic, and then you got to playing it, and you're like, this can't, what?
Apparently, it wasn't a big video game.
The whole basis of the controls were like hitting left, right, up, or down, and that's the fucking end of it. There was no
button.
Wasn't
there a jump button, or was the up?
There wasn't.
I never made it in the castle. I couldn't get past the drawbridge.
He would just like die. It was just like he'd be walking. You wouldn't press left or something, and he'd just be dead. There was no forgiving.
That was a strangely compelling game for me because I would play it. I'd be like, "Fuck this game." And then, like, maybe a month later, I'd be like, oh, Dragon's Lair.
You know
what? Check out what that's about.
Because it looks so good.
I know.
You wanted it to be fun.
If it was anything but what the gameplay was, it probably would have been one of the best games. We would have been talking about it instead of, like, ugh, fashion. We'd been like, remember Dragon's Lair?
To be fair, I beat it.
To be
I'm fair, probably
fuck
the only
you,
person
you beat that
beat
game.
It.
To be fair, it was also pretty old by the time we got to it. The game was made in 1983. So,
is that old?
Yeah. So by the time we got to it, there was bigger, better things out there.
Why were they charging a dollar for it?
For anyone who lives in Ocean City, Maryland, there is a classic arcade named Rigby's Arcade. And they charge a cover price to get in, but once you get in, all the games are free. So
that's cool.
That's how I beat
that's
a lot of the
That's how you try
arcade.
Your Dragon's Lair.
That's how I beat a lot. I beat that. I beat Moonwalker. I beat Simpsons. I bought...
So Simpsons 1, any kid who had a party will give you like those. Do you get those tokens?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd usually just go eat through the Simpsons and our Turtles, like with like three friends.
Oh, that's really where I trained deep within the. If you lose in Marvel, Capcom, or Street Fighter, or Children of the Atom, at that point, X Men, you are off the controls. Because let me tell you how people try and hold on to that controller when they know there's free continues.
Oh, I bet
you're like, yo, dude, you are off that fucking stick. Storm just got her ass kicked. I saw it. Get off the sticks.
Well, I felt there were so many of those particular type games, whether it be the X-Men, the Turtles, Simpsons had one, the Ghostbusters had one. It wasn't like fighting. They had a little thing. But there were so many games just like that that, I mean, who cares? Like, just fucking beat the game, then go to the other one.
Like, well, that's how Rigby's was.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that was, we had a place up here like that. I forget what it was called.
Our place.
It was a lot of fun. Every birthday party was
every,
there.
Yeah, it was the best.
It was a lot
Did
of fun.
They only unlock the arcades for the birthday parties?
Yeah.
I only went there for parties.
Yeah. No, this Rigby's Arcade is an exclusive play as much as you want.
That's a great system.
Yeah.
I miss arcades so much.
Well, it's great. It's got to be like $40 now to go in, but it was $20.
Well, yeah, well, once the home systems were crapping on the arcades, why would I go to an arcade?
Might not even be open anymore. I don't know.
Well, with that arcade on the boardwalk, that was there, I guess that was about 6 years ago at this point, or 5 years ago, right? We went there.
In Ocean City and Rehoboth Beach, all of them on the boardwalk are thriving. Rigby's, unfortunately, was deep within the heart of Ocean City.
All right.
Nowhere near the water.
All boardwalk stuff's going to make a decent turn because, like, summer, there's so many people there. Like, oh, they see arcade, they walk in, they'll play a couple
games. You don't have to, there's no shirt, no shoe rules. You know, you go in there, you're wet. I don't know how they do it, but they, you know, we can play wet. I remember specifically the X-Men game would give you a shock.
Zap you.
Yeah, I remember that. All right, well, I guess that about wraps it up for this week, right?
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Anyone else got any video game knowledge they want to drop off?
Not at the moment.
Dragon's Lair stinks.
Who's the Boss references?
No, I'm good.
Favorite character on Who's the Boss? Kyle.
Tony Danza.
I never saw it.
Mona. The correct answer is Mona.
Sorry. I'm going to dock you points.
All right. I'm going to dock you both points. All right. Well, I guess that about wraps it up for this week.
Should I edit that out too?
What?
That whole thing.
The Mona thing? No, it's gold. All
right.
Why don't you just throw out your world famous sign off?
Yeah. Close the door behind you. That's my new one.